This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM, by mobile app, and on the web at kexp.org. My guest this morning is Steve Gelb, Seattle Director of the Emerald Cities Collaborative, a national network of 10 cities that has a focus on improving our environment, growing our economy, and doing it in an equitable way. Steve Gelb is here today to tell us about the Renew Multifamily Housing Program that will bring energy and water savings to affordable housing. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
What is the Emerald City Collaborative and what is your purpose? Would you elaborate?
Sure. So the Emerald Cities Collaborative is a collaboration of government, business, community, and labor groups that works together on what we call a triple bottom line mission. So combining protecting our environment, growing our economy, and building a more equitable community. And we focus on projects around that, primarily focused around improving our buildings in our cities, because we know that's where a lot of energy is used and pollution is created and carbon is created and so on.
In what cities is the Emerald Cities Collaborative currently operating?
So we're most active in the West Coast, so Los Angeles, San Francisco, Oakland. We're in Cleveland, Providence, New York, Miami, New Orleans. And I probably missed one or two, but that's where we're most active today.
Would you say more about the types of organizations that are involved in the Emerald Cities Collaborative?
Sure. On the government side, City of Seattle is an active member and one of the founders of Emerald Cities. In labor, we work with primarily the building trades construction unions. So we work with the electrical workers union, the IBW, the plumbers, and the sheet metal workers. Those are the trades involved in energy efficiency work. On the community side, we work with groups that are involved with communities of color like Got Green and Puget Sound Sage. And then we work with environmental groups like the Sierra Club. And then on the business side, companies like McDonald Miller Facility Solutions that are involved in efficiency work are engaged. So a pretty broad spectrum of groups. And that's what makes our collaborative effective, is that groups that sometimes work at cross purposes are united for a common mission.
Before we go into detail about Renew Multifamily Housing, would you give an overview of the programs of the Emerald Cities Collaborative?
Yes. Well, that's difficult to do. In each city, we operate semi-autonomously. We have the same mission, but we find opportunities in each city that are most effective. So in Seattle, in addition to the Renew program, we're engaged in some policy development for commercial building energy efficiency. And we're also involved in working with primarily Seattle City Light on workforce inclusion to make sure that jobs created in efficiency and through their incentives benefit our entire community, including underserved communities. In other cities, we're engaged with municipal buildings. In Cleveland, we do a minority worker training program. In Los Angeles, we're involved with food accessibility in Oakland. So it's a broad range of programs, but always around this mission of triple bottom line.
How long has the Emerald Cities Collaborative been in operation?
So we're about 7 years old. It grew out of an opportunity early in the first Obama administration when we were in recession, and there were many efforts around growing the economy, replacing all the jobs that had been lost, an emphasis on addressing climate change and environmental issues. And leaders in Washington saw a need to make sure these things work together and not in silos. So leaders at the national level got together and said, let's form this collaborative to make sure this happens. And that's really what's unique about Emerald Cities, is weaving these three elements together and pushing to make sure they happen together all the time and that we don't compromise on any one of them, because they're all important to a sustainable society.
Would you now go into detail about your Renew program? What is the goal?
So the goal of the Renew program is to help affordable housing owners, primarily nonprofits who own affordable housing, make their buildings more energy and water efficient, thus saving money that allows them to provide more services for their tenants, allows the housing to exist sustainably long term, and allows them to invest in new housing, new affordable housing, which we know we need so much in our city.
How do energy efficiency upgrades fit into efforts to provide affordable housing?
So affordable housing is quite a challenge in a city where costs are going up all the time. The rents that affordable housing owners can charge are relatively fixed. They're capped at a certain percentage of the area median income. And because of that, housing owners struggle to make ends meet, to balance their budgets all the time. They don't have much flexibility. The area where they can save money and can improve their budgets is in energy and water, and they spend a fairly significant amount of money on those. So by reducing the costs there, that helps them be more sustainable. They're also very concerned about the health and welfare of their tenants, and energy and water savings often can improve air quality, improve lighting, improve the comfort of tenants as well. So all of those things are important to providing affordable housing that is of high quality in our city.
So you're talking about nonprofit providers of affordable housing, is that correct?
Correct. And there are more than you might think. There are 300 buildings in Seattle owned by nonprofits that run affordable housing. And that is in addition to the Seattle Housing Authority, which has another 500 buildings or so. So we're talking about a very significant building stock where we have many tenants living and a lot of energy use and a lot of water use. So it's a big opportunity in a very focused area.
What kind of rents are being charged in this particular housing stock?
Well, that's outside of my area of expertise, probably. The way it works is each building is designated as having residents of a certain percentage of the area median income. And I believe the area median income for, I think, two people is around $48,000. So some are as low as 50% of area median, some are 80%. And then because of those incomes, the property owner can charge a maximum of 30% of that income to the tenant. So I think we're talking about $500 to $1,000 at most. And in many of these units, because of other subsidies and programs to help the formerly homeless, many tenants don't pay anything at all. So it's structured to allow tenants to pay what they could afford, essentially.
What support do you offer a low-income housing building owner?
So what we offer, what we call it is a sort of beginning-to-end support. So right at the start is how do you determine which buildings you should look at to make more efficient. So we help look at their entire portfolio of buildings and do an analysis to figure out where they spend their energy on heating hot water, on providing lighting, where the water is used, and so on. And try to calculate a rough idea of what the opportunity is so they know where to focus. And then we guide them through the whole process. That's really what Renew is. And a lot of it is lining up money at various places to help them through that. So one of the challenges whenever you do efficiency is it takes some investment up front to provide some expertise to figure out what you need to do. And that often, especially nonprofits, don't have that money around. So we are able to front them the money, essentially, and share some of the risk with them to do that. And then once a project is completed, at the back end, we've aligned with the Washington State Housing Finance Commission to provide a loan to pay for the project over time. That's really important for efficiency, because efficiency, I like to say, it always pays for itself eventually. So if you can spread the cost over time, you can make pretty much any project pencil out.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Steve Gelb, Seattle Director of the Emerald Cities Collaborative. Our topic is the Renew Multifamily Housing Program that will bring energy and water savings to affordable housing. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on listener-powered KEXP, 90.3 FM, by Bumble app, and on the web at kexp.org. How much opportunity is there for energy efficiency upgrades in low-income housing?
So as I said earlier, there are about 300 buildings in Seattle alone, another at least 200 to 300 in King County, Snohomish County, and surrounding areas. In each building, the opportunities for efficiency vary. Many of the owners have done significant work already in making their buildings more efficient. We're looking to fill in the gaps, to fill in places where they couldn't afford to do additional improvements or to finish work they've started. We're typically seeing anywhere from 15 to 40% savings opportunities in energy and water. And the largest opportunities, interestingly, are in water in terms of cost savings, as many of you probably know from your own utility bills, sometimes your water bill is actually higher than your electric bill. So water is pretty expensive in our area, and we're able to find pretty significant savings there at fairly low cost. And that helps balance an entire project and allows us to get deep into other areas of efficiency in lighting and in improving heating and controls for heating and ventilation and things such as that.
Would you go into a bit more detail about the nature of the upgrades you make in both the energy and the water?
Sure. Touch on some of the interesting ones. You know, we're working mostly with multifamily buildings, and if you go into a stairway in a multifamily building, by law, you have to have lighting there so you can exit. But that lighting is on 24 hours a day. And in many buildings, especially buildings with an elevator, nobody uses the stairs at all. So if you built a new building today, you would put a bi-level sensor in the building, in the stairwell, so that the light is very dim most of the time. And if someone enters the stairwell, the light comes on, if they entered in an emergency or just to use it. So we're able to change lighting in stairwells to what we call a bi-level sensor and an LED. So instead of using 26 or 50 watts, it uses 2 watts most of the time. And that savings is really significant. And that also allows the lighting in the hallway to last a long time. So instead of changing light bulbs in a hallway, let's say every year or two, it might last 10 to 20 years. So it becomes almost a permanent part of the building. So that's one of the interesting ones. On the water side, one of the things we're doing is we're installing showers that are called shower starts, which allow you to turn your shower on. And often people turn their shower on and allow the water to heat up. And unfortunately, some people forget that they have the shower on or are distracted because they're shaving or brushing their teeth or whatever. And what this does is as soon as the shower reaches the optimal temperature, it shuts down to a trickle so that you're not wasting water or hot water. And then when you're ready to get in the shower, you pull a little cord and the shower comes on and stays on as long as you want. So that gets rid of all that water that's wasted between the time the shower is heated to the right temperature and the time you're ready to take the shower. So things such as that help reduce both water use and the energy needed to heat the hot water for showers. So those are just a couple of examples. We're also looking at ways of heating water more efficiently. The current technology that is optimal for electricity is heat pump technology, which is about 3 times more efficient than a traditional hot water heater. So those are a great opportunity as well. And the other thing I'll mention is ventilation. So multifamily buildings need air to ventilate for health and so on. And in a lot of our buildings, we tend to put too much air in. And by forcing cool air in or new air in, we're forcing heat out. And that's a huge potential waste of energy. So we're optimizing the correct level of ventilation in buildings to save energy.
Well, you mentioned a bit about this earlier, but how much savings are you likely to see in making these upgrades?
So as I said, I think overall we're looking at 15 to 40%. On some specific measures, like using sensors on lighting, outdoor lighting or hallways or stairwells, the savings could be as much as 80%, which is hugely significant. And even in water, one of the things we find, for example, a sink you might use in a bathroom to wash your hands doesn't need a very high flow of water. So we go in and see often 2 gallons a minute is the terminology we use for measuring water. And we can put an aerator on that sink that would go down to 0.5 gallon per minute. So that's a 75% savings of water just in that. And it becomes really important in a multifamily building because you have 100 units in a building. You multiply 1 or 2 or 3 people per unit times 100 times washing their hands 3 or 4 times a day. And that amounts to, you know, sometimes thousands of dollars of savings just on that one small little change.
To what extent are you considering putting solar on some of these buildings? I thought I saw something about that on your website.
Yeah. So that's a great question. In Washington, we're working closely with Northwest Seed, which promotes solar energy on buildings. And our incentives through the state have focused primarily on single-family residential housing. And they and we together are working on trying to change that. So the incentives would allow for a larger system to go on buildings and to spread the cost or the benefits and the incentives over a longer period of time. So we're hoping that the legislature takes some action this session to improve the incentives that are available for solar. And if they do, we're looking to put some solar on one of the projects we're working on today, which would be a much larger system than we could have done under the old system, and then wrap it into the kind of efficiency financing that we're using for the rest of the work. So we think there's a big opportunity. And what it does really for affordable housing owners is it provides another source of income to improve their bottom line and help keep rents low and allow them to invest in services.
Would you underscore the challenges in providing energy efficiency upgrades for low-income housing?
Sure. When we started working on this, we didn't know what the barriers would be. And affordable housing owners are interested in saving money. They're interested in contributing to the community, protecting our environment. So they were very motivated to do this work, but it wasn't happening. And we found a few areas of need. One was just the time necessary to do this work. Efficiency work is sort of extra work. It's nothing you need to do to keep the building running. It's true in our homes. It's true in big buildings. So getting to the top of someone's priority list was very difficult for these projects. And for that reason, often they weren't happening or were happening at a very low level. Also, the expertise necessary. The affordable housing folks have great expertise at building new buildings, and they have great expertise at maintaining their buildings. And these projects kind of fall right in the middle of that. They're moderate-sized projects that involve coordinating a number of different trades to do the work, involve technical details of working with utilities and the Office of Housing to line up incentives, and so on. So the expertise to put that together was somewhat lacking, and we're able to help with that. And the last would be the financing and money, both at the front end to allow the projects to get started and get going, and at the end of the project to pay for it and spread it over time at a low cost.
You are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM by mobile app and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Steve Gelb, Seattle Director of the Emerald Cities Collaborative. Our topic is the Renew Multifamily Housing Program that will bring energy and water savings to affordable housing. To what extent has the Renew program been implemented so far in Seattle?
Yes. So we're just at the end of or engaged in our pilots. We've been working on two buildings with the Plymouth Housing Group to retrofit, and those are first two different types of building where we're testing out all the components that I've spoken about. And then we're engaged with the Bellwether Housing on five buildings. And our model is to try to do five buildings at a time for efficiency in terms of meeting with staff, in terms of working on financing, contracting out, and so on. So once we're done with these five buildings, we feel we will have proven this model and then can, we believe, expand rapidly. Our goal is to do about 20 buildings a year initially, and hopefully in time double that if the model is successful.
Is this ever going on in other cities as well?
Yeah, interesting you ask that. So at the same time we're developing here in Seattle, we're working in San Francisco to develop the same model, and they're a little bit behind us. We're ahead of San Francisco for a change, which is good. We're also working in Providence, Rhode Island, and now talking about a program in the Bronx in New York. So we're able to share the key elements of the program, and yet it needs to be customized for each city because the players are unique and the needs are a little bit unique. But our goal is to replicate this wherever we can to provide these benefits in affordable housing, and the need exists everywhere.
Would you give us some numbers about Seattle, like how many units and that sort of thing?
Yeah, so I believe we have about 300 units of affordable housing. About 100 of those are duplexes, triplexes, and so on, and about 200 or larger buildings, averaging about 75 units per building. So that's many, many thousands of residents. In King County, harder to put the number on that, we believe we have about 200 buildings throughout King County, additionally, outside of Seattle, and then even more in, you know, Snohomish County, Kitsap, et cetera. So quite significant. The numbers are sometimes hard to track down precisely, but a significant opportunity. And they're building new buildings all the time. So part of our effort is to work with existing buildings to make sure they remain affordable and have a positive cash flow for the building owners. So we don't spend money building new buildings but lose old buildings. We need to do both to make sure we have enough affordable housing in our community.
How are you addressing workforce diversity in the Renew program?
That's a great question. So this is an important thing for Emerald Cities, Seattle, and we work very closely with the trade unions and with policies that ensure that all jobs are paid a prevailing wage, that we provide opportunities for apprenticeship wherever possible. So apprentices, it's a fabulous program through the unions where it's essentially on-the-job training, where apprentices get classroom education as well as on-the-job while they're being paid for work. So that's an ideal opportunity, especially for low-income individuals who might not be able to afford college or even community college to actually get trained and work at the same time. And another aspect of that that we're excited about and try to feed into is what's called pre-apprenticeship, which really focuses especially on preparing individuals for apprenticeship. So students or young people or any age people, actually, who may not have a high school diploma, who may be getting out of prison, have been homeless, and provide opportunities. So programs we work with in that area would be a program called Youth Build, which is focuses on homeless and formerly homeless youth and allows them to get a GED and prepare for jobs in the trades. Another program called Anew, which focuses primarily on opportunities for women in construction trades and programs such as that.
In terms of the current work that's being done, how diverse is the workforce?
It's fairly diverse right now, I can say, but honestly, it's a very small workforce because we're in the middle of our first two projects. So what we will do, though, is track our diversity and ask the contractors to share with us who is doing the work and are they apprentices and did they come out of any of these pre-apprenticeship programs. So that's important to us. Because these are fairly small projects, it's a challenge to figure out how to do that. The other thing we will do is work with minority contractors and see how available they are to do this work and can we assist them in providing training to allow them to grow their businesses and meet the needs of energy efficiency in our area.
Would you underscore your vision for the future of the Seattle Emerald Cities Collaborative?
Well, I can speak specifically for the Renew program. As I said, there's a finite number of affordable housing buildings, and we believe almost all of them have some opportunity to be more efficient. So our goal, whether we do it through Renew or other similar programs do it, would be to make sure every affordable housing building is as efficient as it can be on a cost-effective basis. And that will do a lot to ensuring longevity and availability of affordable housing. For Emerald Cities, I would talk about our goals in aligning with the City of Seattle and its Climate Action Plan, which calls for the city to be climate neutral by 2050. And we're focused on the building component of that, and we're trying to work with the city and promote policies that allow that to happen. And especially important to us would be that as we ramp this up and create lots of opportunities, that it reaches all aspects of the community, those often that are underserved by government or utility programs, and that the jobs provided to do this work are available to all and training programs available to all. So all we want is to have a carbon neutral city where everyone participates and everyone benefits from that.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
I think the message is that most of us in Seattle, I believe, are interested in energy efficiency and in doing what we can to fight climate change. But I would say that we need to be vigilant and determined to make it happen. Because just like in affordable housing, there are barriers in the way that sometimes prevent it or slow it down. And we shouldn't take for granted that because we want to do it, that will happen. That we need to work very hard and work together in coalitions and collaboratives to make sure it happens.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Steve.
Thank you very much.
You were just listening to Steve Gelb, Seattle Director of the Emerald Cities Collaborative. For more information, check on the web at emeraldcities.org. Again, that's emeraldcities.org. The sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the streaming archive section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. In addition, sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts, along with KEXP's music podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on demand, and then podcasting. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on Listener Powered 90.3 FM, by mobile app, and on kexp.org.